Well, well, here we are.
All right, people, we're gonna try something a little different today.
No, I do mind. The dude minds. This will not stand.
The only true wisdom is in knowing you know nothing.
That's us, dude.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
I'm gonna tell you something, and I want you to listen tight. It may sound like I'm talking about me, but I'm not. I'm talking about you. As a matter of fact, I'm talking about all people everywhere.
Discussing the issues that actually matter. Finding the answers using logic and reason. Now here is the host of Rush to Reason, John Rush.
And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Rachel Keem with me today, conservative mama. Charlie Grimes, your engineer. Phil Kirpin joining us now. And Phil is president of American Commitment. Phil, welcome to Rush to Reason.
Hey, John, good to be with you.
I appreciate you joining us. And I've read your op-ed, and you are basically going to just reiterate things I've been saying now for, gosh, Phil, since last March. Mm-hmm. I think the end of March I've been talking about some of these things. And
you're enjoying the 15 years to stop the spread.
Oh, my word.
Oh,
I mean, is it ever going to end, Phil? I mean, to me, this is not about keeping people safe and or their health. This has now become a control issue.
Yes.
Well, you know, the remarkable thing to me is how long all of this has continued despite any evidence that it's been helpful in any way. And to me, we hit sort of a milestone that went a lot less noticed than it should have about 10 or 12 days ago now. California passed Florida on a total cases per capita basis. So we've now had more cases per capita in California with 9 months of lockdown than we've had in Florida, which has been completely open since September.
And let's make sure we add something else into that, Phil. The population demographic of Florida is not what California is either, right?
Right.
It's much older. California hasn't quite passed Florida yet on per capita deaths, even though they're ahead in cases because of the age issue that you just pointed out. But if you split it in half, over 65 and under 65, California has a higher per capita over 65 than Florida deaths and a higher per capita deaths under 65.
Right.
They just don't have as many over 65s as Florida does. So, you know, if you don't break it out by age, you don't see it on the deaths. But, yeah, I mean, you see it on the deaths, too, if you do even the slightest, you know, even the most basic age adjustment. And the point is, you know, you can shut things down, you can order people around, you can mask them up, you can double mask them, whatever the latest thing is, you shut down restaurants, you do all this stuff. When it's your turn for the virus to come through, it comes through anyway.
Exactly.
And that's what's happened in California recently.
Yeah,
I know. Again, some of these things we just keep, you know, I feel like at times, Phil, I'm just beating a dead horse and not making any headway. And I guess, really, the million-dollar question is, you know, what, as conservatives, do we start doing to finally get some things back on track? Because, you know, here in Colorado, I mean, we still have restaurants at 25% capacity. It's ridiculous.
Well, you know, I live in D.C. where, you know, we just got 25%. We've been at zero for 4 weeks. So everyone's, you know, we're like, oh, thank you so much, Mayor, for 25%.
Unreal.
It's horrendous. And, you know, for these guys to try to make the economics of running a restaurant work at 25% of the capacity, it's a nightmare. And you feel for them. And, you know, the restaurants are a very interesting thing because there's very, very little evidence that restaurants are responsible for any significant
Phil, I've read some of the stats. It's like 1% or 2% if they can even prove that.
In New York State, when Governor Cuomo came out and shut down all the restaurants, which he did, I think, November or December, he put this slide up that had all their contact tracing data, and the slide said something like 75% of transmission is in homes, you know, with it. 10% is in healthcare settings, you know, whatever. And then at restaurants, it had 1.4%. And he said, well, you know, I'm going to shut down restaurants anyway because I can't shut down homes. I can't shut down healthcare settings. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to shut down the 1.4% of transmission basically because I can, with his illogic. And by the way, if almost all the transmission is in homes and you shut down all the restaurants, people gather more at home.
Right.
You're not going to decrease transmission. You might increase it.
You're not helping anything doing this.
And now we're now I'm hearing like more like healthy, natural doctors talk about how this is hurting our immune systems because we are staying at home.
That's
so
right.
We're not building our immune systems up to fight just natural things that you come in contact with every day.
That's right.
So that's another thing that we're going to see. People getting sick just from that.
I am too.
For children, that they're not getting the immune system challenges that they need to develop strong immunity.
Yes.
And, you know, one of the really sort of bizarre things that's happened this year worldwide that hasn't got a lot of coverage is a lot of the other viruses have almost completely disappeared. And so flu is down 99%, RSV is down 99%, the non-COVID, common cold coronaviruses are down about 99%. All we've got this year, really globally, is we've got the coronavirus, and we've got a lot of rhinoviruses and some adenoviruses, and that's basically it. All the viruses that we're used to having in the winter are not there. And, you know, there are lots of different theories why that's the case. I think it's an interaction phenomenon with the coronavirus that sort of crowded them out. But regardless of why you think it's the case, we're going to have potentially a really rough winter next year.
Right.
Because you got a lot of people who have weakened and compromised immunity.
Yep.
It's not going to have been restored by then. And all these viruses are going to come back, and people are not going to have seen them in a long, long time.
That's right.
And so I think, you know, next winter, you know, I don't know what virus it'll be. Maybe it'll be a nasty flu. Maybe it'll be something else. But I do think that these things aren't going to stay disappeared forever.
No.
They're going to come back at some point.
Yeah, today's National Cancer Awareness Day. We interviewed somebody earlier, Phil, you know, as a kind of a PSA along those lines. And, you know, the fear that's even out there in that world is, you know, the amount of cancer deaths that we will increase in 2021 and 2022 as well from things that went didn't get diagnosed because people didn't go in for preventative treatments and so on because of these shutdowns and COVID and so on. And those are the numbers. I'm fearful that we're going to see those numbers raise in the next 2 years as well.
It's a huge, huge issue because routine cancer screenings weren't taking place because people weren't going to the doctor. And it's not just cancer, by the way. A lot of people were having heart attacks and strokes.
That's right.
And not going to the emergency
That's right.
room. And so we've had home, you know, deaths in the home of those causes are up significantly as a result of, I think, the fear and the hype and everything else, you know, surrounding the lockdowns and so forth. And we're going to be in a big hole on cancer because we're going to find a lot of late-stage cancers that would have been found earlier. And, of course, that makes them much tougher. And
I agree.
Survival rates lower, and
yes.
The only thing I could say about that, John, is at least we're not the United Kingdom, where they're, you know, it's going to take them a decade to dig out of their backlog with their government-run system. So at least we've got a good health system to try to dig out of the hole, but it's going to be tough, and we're going to lose people.
No, and again, around here, Phil, it's starting to happen. I go back to the question I asked earlier, you know, how do people start, you know, fighting this? So, you know, here recently, here in the Denver area, we've got a place in town that's kind of known for maybe really getting kind of a start to, you know, country music musicians and folks along those lines. We're not Nashville, but, you know, it's the Grizzly Rose here in town. And it's where a lot of folks like that get their start. You know, they play there and somebody may hear them. And so they might move up the ladder from that. And so there was an event that happened this past weekend where there was a lot of folks there, Phil. They were not social distancing. They were dancing. They didn't have their masks on. And of course, today it's now shut down from the, you know, state health department because of them allowing all those people in. And so, you know, people are getting to a point in Colorado, at least, where they're just fed up with all this nonsense. And yet, we still have the governmental agencies, you know, strong-arming these folks.
Well, what I think, first of all, the case numbers are plummeting everywhere in the world, including every part of the United States. And we're down now about 45% from the peak in just 3 or 4 weeks. And so I'm hoping that this is the real end of season, and we're seeing for the first time every place in the U.S. and really pretty much every place in the world going down at once. And before now, it had always been one place rising while another place is falling. So I'm hoping that this is the end of season, and we're going to have, you know, at least several months, if not all the way to next winter, without this really being a significant, you know, sort of high number situation. And then, of course, you know, the question is, will we see vaccine uptakes such that they really can't keep ringing the alarm bell and keep trying to put restrictions in. And, you know, Colorado is one of the best states right now in terms of the vaccination program. I track the age distribution of vaccines in the states, and I've got Colorado fourth right now, behind Alaska, Indiana, and Louisiana. But really up in that top tier, you've vaccinated 44% of your age 70-plus population. And, you know, frankly, once you've vaccinated the seniors, that's almost all of the mortality risk, because younger people, you know, almost always do well when they do get this virus. And so, you know, that will, I think, put you in a really good situation to say, look, we don't need restrictions anymore. We're sort of through this. And in particular, I think this is a really important point. It's not, the goal should not be to get any particular number vaccinated before you can lift all these restrictions.
Agreed.
The goal should be, are we at a point where anyone who wants to get it can get it? Because it's a personal choice. And
right.
if we get to the point where anyone who wants to get it can get it, then mm-hmm. I think you got to say, look, lift all the restrictions.
Right.
The people who wanted to wait yeah. for it, they've got it now. Other people, they choose to make their decision. They'll
right.
take whatever the risk
right.
is.
But
right.
you can't
right.
justify
Great point.
Limits on people at that point.
Great point. Phil, how do folks find more about what you guys have going on at American Commitment?
AmericanCommitment.org is the website, and I'm also very active on Twitter. It's just my last name, K-E-R-P-E-N.
Perfect. Awesome. Phil, thank you. You're welcome anytime. This is good stuff. Thank you so much, sir.
All right. Have a good one.
You bet. Take care. Good. I appreciate that. And you know what? I think that last comment he made is hopefully the direction we get, or, you know, the result that we get.
I love that.
I hope he's correct.
Hey, it's available if you want it. If not, no worries. Let's open up. Let's live life. Be free.
If you get COVID,
this
it's on
America.
You.
Yeah.
Right.
You make your decisions. Actions have consequences. You choose not to get the vaccine, then you choose not to get it. You choose to get it, you choose to, just live life.
Yep.
That's what I'm about.
Gino's Auto Service is next, folks. They want to take care of your vehicle in Littleton. They've been doing this for 37 years, and they'll work on anything that you're driving. It's really that simple. 303-794-6700. Find them online at ginosautoservice.com.
Start the new year right by taking advantage of Geno's Napa Legend and AAA Premium Battery Sale. Did you know car batteries typically last just 3 to 5 years? There is no reason to get stuck with a bad battery when you can stop in at Geno's for a free battery check. And while you're there, you can take advantage of Geno's free multi-point inspection. We'll evaluate your vehicle, looking at your fluid levels, belts, hoses, and filters. Geno's is also having a sale on genuine Napa starters and alternators. We are big believers in catching problems before they start, which is why we do our best to make your life easier by offering loaner vehicles so you can drop your car off and pick up when ready. Don't miss a beat this year. Geno's is continuing to service Larry's Automotive customers through Napa Auto Care, warranting any work you may have had done before Larry's closed. Give us a call or go online to schedule an appointment. We're AAA approved and located at Bulls and Platte Canyon. Stop in or visit us online at ginosautoservice.com. That's Geno's with a J.
Purify Chevrolet, where you can buy that new or used car, truck, SUV, you name it, they've got it. And again, like I said, used as well. So don't let that the fact that they're a Chevrolet dealership scare you. You can buy anything out there that they've got in stock. In a lot of cases, they can find what you want. Call them today, 303-659-8311, or find them online at purifoychevrolet.com.
You know, when I go into Purifoy Chevrolet, they don't give you that feel like they're there to take your money or they only care about the sale. They really, truly seem to care about me, and that means a lot to me. I've had the privilege of going into Purifoy Chevrolet to see Rolly's office. And when you see Rolly Purifoy and his family, and especially his father, because his dad was so involved in this business, you really get a sense of what it means for it to be a family. Then when you see customers come in, you also realize that they treat their customers the same way they would their family members. It was very clear that the customers come back again and again and again. There's kind of this real family feel of they want you to come in, be so pleased that you'll continue to come in and have a pleasant experience, and people that treat you like family, and you can't get better than that. So that really has stuck with me, and I think that's really something unique about Purifoy Chevrolet that means you should go there.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purifoy. We're just up the road in Fort Lupton and on the web at purifoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Rachel Keene, conservative mama, and got Scott Garlis. He'll join us here at 5:30, talk a little bit about the stock market, some of what happened last week, and what's been going on this week in regards to GameStop and some of that.
Oh, yeah.
Before that, though, I know you want to talk impeachment, but before we do that, I told you at the beginning of the show.
Oh, yes.
I would inform you of the Facebook
I want to hear about it. What
Apple
is this thing?
Face-off.
Yes. Facebook Apple face off.
Yes.
What?
Well, Facebook is very irritated right now at Apple because Apple, in their next version of phone software, is making it to where anybody that has an app like Facebook that basically tracks how you surf and looks at all the things you do so they can then advertise to you, Facebook or Apple is going to make the new software where you as a user get to choose can they do that or not right off the bat.
I love it.
And Facebook is mad.
Of course they are.
Because they think that's bad. Or they think that's going to be detrimental to small businesses, what Zuckerberg is basically saying.
He's so concerned about
small
businesses.
Oh, that guy's such a putz.
Like
I said earlier, he
is
such a liar. It's unbelievable.
So why? I wonder why that is.
What? Because Apple believes in privacy.
Do they?
Yes.
Do they?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, Apple has turned down, and this is one of the things Trump and I disagreed on. Trump wanted Apple to give the code to unlock their phones to the FBI or NSA or anybody else.
Oh, right. I remember that.
And I was on Apple's side saying, no.
Yeah.
Guys, you go through the proper channels to make this work, and no, we're not just going to release our backdoor, you know, our code to you guys so you can go in and basically, you know, hack in, if you would,
into Fourth Amendment.
Yeah, exactly.
Get a warrant.
So Apple has said, no, we're not doing that.
Okay.
And I'm on their side in that.
Okay.
And in this case, I'm also on their side. So what they're going to do in the new version of software, again, is they're going to make it to where if you're an app that tracks your users' data, you know, i.e. where they're at, where do they go, what do they surf, and so on, the user will have the option at the beginning of that to say, yes, this is okay, or no, this is not.
Okay.
Facebook doesn't want that, of course.
Because Apple had that COVID tracker. Did you turn that thing off?
Yeah. Well, and again, everybody, there's a little misconception there because, Apple put that in.
Right.
But that you did not have to just automatically opt in. You had the ability to choose yes or no right up front.
That's true. That is true.
So again, do they believe in privacy? Absolutely they do. There's a big argument going on right now. Tim Cook and Zuckerberg have been at it publicly back and forth.
Where have I been?
It's in the news.
How do I not know this is going on?
They have been going back and forth, you know, in the news.
What?
Where, you know, Tim Cook's basically saying, no, Mark, you guys go figure this out on your own because the reality is we believe in our users' privacy. And no, you're not just going to get a blanket. You get to see everything they're doing, you know, policy like you've had in the past.
Look at this. Yeah, this was Tim Cook took a swipe at Facebook after Mark Zuckerberg accused Apple of misleading users.
There you go.
Interesting.
So the change, by the way, this change, the new update in privacy changes, which is coming in the next version of iOS 14, this change will require app developers to request permission before they track users. Facebook takes particular issue with this since its business is almost entirely based on tracking what users do online and then showing them what it calls personalized ads.
Oh. See, that's why I never downloaded the Messenger onto my phone on Facebook because I heard that that unlocks all sorts of stuff if you have Messenger Facebook on your phone. So if anybody out there?
And I don't know that one.
I have to go to my desktop to actually look at the message because I won't read it on my phone.
So, anyways, Facebook's trying to create a narrative that basically says Apple's doing something nefarious, that it's targeting Facebook's business and hurting small business and so on. Apple really, though, is just simply giving users a choice whether they want to be tracked or not. So,
choice? What choice?
Yes, in this particular case, I am definitely on Apple's side.
Yeah,
go for it.
Of course,
they should be doing this.
Yes. Give people the opportunity to choose.
Where Tim Cook even came back out even further and said was this. He said, Mark, listen, here's what we want our users to do. There are times where we don't even want them on their phones.
Right.
You cannot be creative. You cannot think. You cannot do the things in life that you need to do if you're constantly attached to your phone. So guess what we want as Apple? We want our people to not be tied to that, have time to do things on their own, be creative, think outside the box, and not just be constantly looking at your screen, Mr. Facebook.
Good.
That's what
I
Tim
like
said.
And I should actually be on my phone less.
So
I agree.
This is the guy that's in charge of Apple saying what I just said. And by the way, do I believe what he said? I don't think he would be publicly arguing with Zuckerberg, the billionaire that he is, if he didn't believe this.
Interesting. We'll have to see how this unfolds.
What's really interesting about all of this, which I don't think Facebook really understands, if Apple tomorrow wanted to write a check for Facebook, cash, they could.
Could they?
They have, I believe, last time I checked, the liquidity was about $200 billion.
Okay, because I know that.
I need to double check that, but I think that's it used to be.
I know that, what's his face, just became the richest.
Well, that was
Musk.
Yeah, Elon.
He passed up the other guy.
Bezos.
Dr. Evil, yes.
Dr. Evil.
He looks like Dr. Evil, doesn't he, though?
Yeah,
so... That's interesting. Very, very interesting. Okay. Well, we'll have to see how this whole thing plays out, because I was starting to doubt Apple a little bit with the whole Parler situation. But if they're gonna come through here and
This is a little bit old article. So April 30th of last year, they had 193 billion on hand.
Okay.
Cash on hand, liquidity.
And what's Facebook at?
I don't know what their total value would be, but not that much.
But they've been hit hard over the last few. Mm-hmm. Few weeks after deleting the president of the United States, I think that caused a little bit of a outrage, and a lot of people left. A lot of people fled there, and a lot of people fled.
They say 266 billion, so maybe not quite cash, but it'd be close.
Close, okay.
They say 200, and again, what is it worth? That's the common stock value is 266 billion.
Right, and I don't
Facebook.
And
Facebook,
but they're not doing good right now. They're slowly doing worse, actually, I heard.
They closed up today, and this is something we can talk to Scott Garlis about next. They closed up today at 266, but yeah, to your point, they've been down in the low 260s.
Uh-huh.
And even below that. I mean, again, I'm only looking at, you know, 1 week. If I look at the past 6 months, they've been clear down in the 250 range, and today they closed at 266.
Okay.
Sorry, and I didn't say that was their total value of $266 billion. That's the stock is $266 right now. So you'd have to look at all the outstanding, you know, do the math and figure out what their actual worth is.
I wouldn't bet on big tech right now with where we're at.
There's very few that I would, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
have this gut feeling that it's not going to – they're going to eventually implode. I really do believe that. I think more and more people are getting fed up with the monopoly. They're getting fed up with all of it, and I don't think that they're going to continue.
Current valuation of Facebook, $684
billion. $684
That's,
billion.
And again, that changes every day, so you know, please, you know, if you're listening, note that changes pretty frequently. So I guess Apple could buy a third of them with cash, but still, Apple's still the cash-richest company out there.
Wow.
With about $200 billion in cash. It's a lot. So we'll talk to Scott here in just a moment. Don't go anywhere, guys. Got some calls coming in, but we'll get to Scott in a moment. Extreme Auto Repair is up next. They'll fix your car, take care of you. Don't forget, Cooper tires are at cost, which saves you a lot of money. In the meantime, just find them, klzradio.com, or call 303-841-1071.
The team at Extreme Auto Repair doesn't normally let their customers drive loaner vehicles to California, but they do keep their promises. It was right before Thanksgiving, and they had promised a customer he'd have his minivan back in time for his upcoming road trip. But they ran into an unexpected issue and had to order a new part, which wasn't going to arrive in time. He needed to get going, and they still had his car taken apart back in their service bays. Sean, Mike, Dave, and the whole team at Extreme Auto Repair in Parker had a quick discussion to figure out how they could still keep their promise. Fortunately, they happened to have a minivan available as a loaner vehicle at the time, so they decided to tell him to take it on his trip. They didn't charge him for mileage, and they made sure he was fully covered so he didn't need to worry. The team at Extreme Auto Repair will always do what they say. Schedule a repair now at klzradio.com/extreme. Promises kept.
Golden Eagle Financial. Al Smith, we just talked big numbers. We're going to talk to Scott Garlis in a minute about the markets. And if you've got a question when it comes to your financial future, ask Al today. It's really simple and easy. He's at Golden Eagle Financial. Find him online at the website, klzradio.com, or 303-744-1128.
Saving for retirement is not the same thing as having a retirement plan. Al Smith, founder of Golden Eagle Financial, helps people near and in retirement who have already saved up the money they need, but who haven't really thought about what comes next. You wouldn't hop in the car for a two-week vacation with no destination in mind. You wouldn't hire a new employee without a job description. You shouldn't retire without a clear idea about how you're going to collect the money you've been diligently saving all your adult life. As soon as you retire, your focus shifts from saving money to making money last. Your risk tolerance changes. You need a financial advisor who specializes in wealth preservation, not wealth accumulation. Set up a free consultation with Golden Eagle Financial at klzradio.com/money, and Al Smith will help you create a plan. Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
All right, Rush to Reason. Real quick, we'll get Paul in Wyoming on before we get Scott Garlis on. Paul, welcome. How are you, sir?
Hey, old buddy, what are you up to?
I'm good, sir. How's it going?
All right. Hey, I got a question about Facebook and Twitter.
Yes.
If you delete your account and then delete it from your phone altogether, can they still track you somehow?
No.
I wouldn't think so.
No, they cannot.
It's completely removed.
No, if it's gone, it's gone. It's done. Yeah. There's nothing they can do at that point.
So if you delete your account, do they still have access to what's in it?
They probably still have access to what your old user account was, potentially, yes. In other words, if you had pictures and stuff stored there and so on, yeah, it's still sitting out there
and
on a server somewhere.
There's a time being where you can reactivate it.
Yeah.
So it might be just deactivated. But if you delete the app off your phone,
they're not doing
anything
with it.
Yeah, they don't have your phone access then.
And by the way, everybody listening, there are ways and multiple videos on this to where you can leave Facebook on your computer and or your phone and not have them track you. You just have to go through the process of basically turning off those tracking things they've got in the app itself.
Right.
It's doable. Mine's off. They don't track me. Mine's off.
Yeah.
Okay, because I heard about that very same thing, but they say that's just a fake button that they can still track you. I mean, I don't know.
Well, I mean, the reality, anyway, Paul, is, you know, let's face it. With cameras we've got all around, from, you know, traffic cams to you name it. I mean, not particularly Facebook, but do the powers that be know where we are most
at all
times?
Yes.
Yeah, pretty much. Mm-hmm. Unless you live in a cave somewhere. Yeah, they do.
Oh. Okay, I appreciate it.
No, Paul, I appreciate it. Great phone call, by the way, and I appreciate you asking. Scott Garlis joining us now from Stansberry Research. Scott, welcome. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm well. How are you guys doing?
We are doing very well today. So talk to us about how this week is going in comparison to last week with GameStop.
I think some more of the details are starting to flesh out. One of the things we talked about last week was the capital commitments that,
right,
who is it, Robinhood had on the line. That's why they had to shut down some of the trading. And that story's starting to come out more, which is interesting. And they're saying this would be a good opportunity to change industry rules. We'll see what happens.
Okay.
But one of the big things that happened here that's going to be, people are going to realize more and more of the aftermath, was the pain that these hedge fund short sellers were taking in these names they were short, that all these retail guys were squeezing higher and basically were costing these hedge funds a lot of money. There were some big hedge funds. One that gets pointed out a lot is Melvin Capital.
Okay.
The guy who runs it is one of the smartest investors out there. They have absolutely destroyed it in terms of returning money to their shareholders. They lost 53% out of the gates in the month of January.
Wow, that's huge.
Yeah,
that's what the Wall Street Journal said. And the thing is, the guy has gained so much notoriety that a lot of other hedge funds follow, or as much as they can get hold of what they're doing,
sure,
they follow what these guys are doing. So that tells me a lot of other hedge funds took a bunch of pain on this as well.
Okay.
And so, for everybody listening, and we explained a little bit of this. I do a podcast, National Crawford Roundtable, where we talked a little bit about this week, and that'll play. It played last night. It'll play again through the weekend, Scott. But for those that may not get a chance to listen to that, explain how how that pain occurred, because not everybody understands the short selling and how that actually works. So explain that one more time.
Yeah, sure. So basically what happened was these guys, they sold stock higher in anticipation of buying it back lower, whereas you and I might buy stock low to sell it high. They were doing the opposite. They found a company that they thought their business was in secular decline, being GameStop and some others in there too. And so they borrowed shares from a broker dealer and then sold those shares to the market. And they were anticipating they're going to buy them back lower. On the other side of that, they might have been going along Microsoft at the same time, or maybe Nike, thinking,
right,
that stock is going to go up, or it's not going to go down as much as GameStop.
Right.
So,
and that's what a short sale is. They borrow stock, they sell it, they hope that they can buy it. Because everybody thinks, well, wait a minute, they borrow stock. How does that work for the guy that owned it in the first place? Well, he's good because he's getting today's value out of the stock. He doesn't really care at the end of the day, because if that thing actually goes, you know, doesn't matter. He's sold, he's done, he's out of it. They guarantee that price at today, even if what happens, happens. Right, Scott?
Well, are you talking about the guy who lent the shares?
Yeah, let's say, for example, you and I decide we're going to short a stock, and Rachel has some.
Yeah.
We borrow that stock from her. We go sell it to the market. Whether it goes up or down, we still owe Rachel what today's price was, right?
How do you mean? You mean that we owe her the price where the stock was borrowed?
Because when we borrow it from her at that day, that's where the set price is, correct?
What? No. That's the broker dealer is the only one that makes out in this, the big broker dealer. So what happens is Bank of America or Goldman Sachs, whoever lent the stock out.
Well, yeah, I should have said more closely. Rachel's not an individual. She's
right,
you know, she's that entity.
Yeah.
She's the one that we're borrowing the stock from.
Yeah.
There has to be a set price, Scott, or otherwise it just floats all over, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, the person who – so what they're doing, the broker-dealer, is pulling shares of all the retail guys that have bought the stock through them, and they're charging the hedge fund a fee
right.
to be able to short the stock. So not only does the hedge fund need the stock to go down, but they need to go down that much extra to
– For the percentage that they're paying to borrow it, right?
Exactly.
Thank you.
Exactly.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I was trying to explain that to people listening so they could understand, you know, how that works. But you know, in simple terms, it's like if I borrowed something from Rachel and I agreed, okay, that item today is worth $100. I guarantee you $100. In fact, I'm going to guarantee it with a 5% return on that $100. But I need to borrow it today. I'm hoping that it'll actually, because then I go out and sell it for that price. I'm hoping that, you know, tomorrow it's 50, so that I can make my $45. Right.
Right.
Yeah, and then you don't. That's exactly right. That is right. So you've got it. And
I mean, that's essentially how a short works. I'm trying to explain it in as easy a layman's terms as I can, because it really is, I think, Scott, for a lot of folks, hard to understand. Because when you're shorting stock, you never owned it to begin with. You borrowed it.
Right.
So, yes, and you're actually creating extra. You're basically creating new stock in the process. Right.
Right?
Yeah.
You entered stock into the market that wasn't there prior. Right.
Yes, because the guy you're borrowing it from is still long the shares, and you are selling shares that you borrowed but you don't own. So
right.
There's potential for, say, the float, which is the number of shares available, to go up to like 150% in the process. And then, you know, that's when like the law of supply demand can kick in, because all of a sudden supply is outweighing demand, and when that happens, things tend to drop in price.
So Scott, what do you think the market's doing? Well, what is it doing now? And then what do you foresee happening over the course of this coming year? Like, you know,
sure.
we my husband and I play a little bit in the stock market, and he's always like trying to guess what's going to do well, what won't do well.
So you want the real answer? Subscribe to Scott's newsletter, Stansberry's Research.
Stop.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm tongue in cheek, but actually, I'm being a little bit serious, because Scott, that's what you guys do, and that's where a lot of that, you know, kind
right.
of inside knowledge would come from, and tips and different things along those lines. But in general, I know Rachel's got a great question. Where do you see things going? I have another question along those lines outside of where do you see it going, and that is this going to happen again?
Yeah.
It very possibly could. So Rachel, really interesting question. So what happened was, this event, when the hedge funds took that much pain, it created a de-risking event. And when I say de-risk, that means they got all the risk off of their books, which means they got rid of their short sales. But in the process, when you unwind that one side of your position, because you're a hedge fund and you're hedged out with a long against that, you're wiping out your long on the other side too. So what we saw, I saw a chart from Morgan Stanley's prime brokerage unit, and a prime brokerage unit is who does this lending of shares out to the hedge funds, because they basically hang on to all of the hedge funds' assets to monitor them for them. So what Morgan Stanley had a chart of this, and basically it was like the day after it happened, 2 days after, it showed that the amount that hedge funds took down their books, meaning reduced their exposure to the stock market, was on par with what we saw last March, when they thought the economy was imploding and the world was potentially going away. So they have completely not, I can't say completely, but they basically wiped out all of their exposure to the stock market.
So they unloaded, basically. Wow. Think of it that way.
Yes, everything.
On both sides, the thing is,
yes, and the market only dropped a couple of percent, you know, maybe like 5% all in by the time it was done, which is crazy. So, you know, what we saw was a similar example. If you go back to March, I mean, the market rallied from the lows in March. Hang on one second. I want to say the S&P bounced back to the end of last year. It was like a 60% rally. I don't have the number. It went somewhere. 68% to the end of the year. And, okay, and the reason why is these guys, hedge funds, they are very active money managers. They're always, they're buying and selling stock against their positions because they're constantly trying to make money. And they're using leverage in the process. So they create a lot of the market volume. So these guys don't have any exposure. And let's look at the instance of Melvin. If they're supposedly down 53%, well, they're not going to get paid this year by losing money. They're going to get paid if they make money.
Right.
So not only do they have to have exposure right now, but they got to get exposure back.
So they got
to
get back in the game.
Bingo.
They can't sit out forever.
There's an old saying in the stock market. It is that the stock market does what hurts the most people the most. And what that means is when people aren't invested, the stock market's going to go up. And when you see the big money isn't invested, that tells me the stock market's going to go up. And you know, there's no guarantee. I could be dead wrong. But that tells me they're, based on recent past, when they've taken down their exposure this much, they're going to have to get back in at some point. They're going to change.
Which will push stock back up.
Bingo. And you know, in September of 2019, we saw a similar type deal. They took down a bunch of exposure. The stock market rallied, you know, 14% from the end of September up into February before we had COVID hit. In the fourth quarter of 2018, similar event, and you saw the stock market rally 30% through 2019 from the end of 2018 to the end of 2019. So these are the last three big drawdowns we've seen, and they've been big time return events. Mm. So it's going to be really interesting to see if this doesn't play out exactly the same way.
Okay. Now my question is, this going to happen again?
Yes, it could very, very well happen again. I don't know that we're going to see a similar type of event in terms of what's going on with the retail guys. I think hedge funds, these big short sellers, fell asleep at the wheel, so to speak.
They did.
Yeah, they'll be on top of it now.
Yeah, and I think next
time they'll be on Reddit watching what's going on.
Right, they're going to have people everywhere. Places. Right, yeah.
It's correct. And there's also what's interesting, there's an article in the Wall Street Journal this morning or last night about a hedge fund that made $700 million just off of the GameStop rally.
Wow.
So I would, you know, if I'm a regulator and I saw that article, the first thing I would probably do is say, I want to see everything you've done in any chat rooms. I want your usernames.
Mm.
I mean, God bless them. You know, that's an incredible return.
But how did you do that?
Yeah.
Okay, so let me ask you this, Scott. Let's say, for example, those guys were watching what was going on with Reddit and came out smelling like a rose. Did they do anything illegal?
No. Not really. If they were telling people, I would think, if they were telling people in Reddit to do this stuff and organize, like...
That's a problem.
Brother,
that's a problem.
That's a problem.
Right.
But if
they're just monitoring and watching and then responding accordingly, they're safe, right?
Right.
They're smart guys, because if they were like, hey, this is going on, let's take advantage of the situation, let's ride the wave and make money, and God bless them. Yeah.
So what you're saying, though, is that's where the regulators will come in and check to make sure what you and I just said happened.
Yes. They want to make sure everybody's playing
by the rules.
Above the sheets. Yes, exactly.
So, Scott, you foresee this next year pretty good for the stock market, though, is what you're kind of telling me, because I was a little nervous.
Scott, let me real quick just ask a question. I see it doing well, because you can't inject $4+ trillion and not have it do that.
With stimulus, is what you're saying?
Everything they're doing. They're printing money. They're injecting,
right,
you know, the bailouts, the unemployment checks, the you name it. I mean, more PPP. I mean, you cannot put another $4 trillion on top of what we've already done and not have it be affected in a positive way.
Okay.
And so I think John is exactly right there. And I think that's a key thing to all of this. You know, the Democrats have two opportunities at a reconciliation this year.
Right.
And so, you know, I know Biden had 10 Republican senators come and sit down Monday night to talk about their alternative plan. They're proposing a $620 billion bill. But, you know, the next day, the Democrats already started their reconciliation.
Yeah, they don't. And real quick, and I know we're taking a lot of your time, Scott. I appreciate this, but explain to everybody, because we hear a lot about that name, reconciliation. I've read about it. I know what it is. I've known about it from the past. But there's probably folks listening that have no idea what we're talking about. Explain reconciliation with the budget.
So basically, reconciliation is part of the budget process.
National budget, federal budget.
Right.
Federal budget. I'm sorry. So it has to effectively be budget neutral. But the federal budget ends every year in September. Now, what we saw was we saw some negotiations around spending levels that happened at the end of the year last year, and they finally got them done. But they did not seal up the final budget year. There is still some stuff that needs to be a loop that needs to be closed and some things that need to be done. So what you can do is you can add things to the bill, some spending measures, that they can't be deficit forming after 10 years. So they would go away within 10 years. And they can't add to the deficit taxes. They have to be merely incidental from basically a spending basis. But what can happen is the Democrats can use this to get a lot of that $1.9 trillion coronavirus aid in.
That's right.
Now, one of the things that probably won't fly is the minimum wage hike. It won't happen. They'll be against the rules. And, like, trying to get a national mask mandate wouldn't be allowed.
Can't do that either.
Puerto Rico and D.C. becoming states.
Can't do that either.
You don't think they can?
But,
no, not in reconciliation they can't,
But they can get a lot of their bill done, and I would guess that they could get at least $1 trillion worth done, you know, maybe more.
Right. I agree. So I agree with you. By the way, I think you're spot on, Scott. Again, then that'll affect the stock market as we just spoke.
Bingo. That puts more money available in the system, takes down the value of the dollar, and assets that are priced in dollars. We've been talking about they go up. Now, in the fall, in September, when they have to do the next year's budget. Basically, they have another shot, and that's when they're going to come back with the $2 trillion infrastructure bill, and they're going to try to get that through.
Yep.
And we saw this with Trump around the spending.
And that'll pass, by the way. Those of you that are thinking, well, it'll never pass. No, that one will pass, guaranteed.
The infrastructure?
Oh, yes.
I think it will, too.
Yeah,
I'll
bet my life on it.
And the other thing to remember with reconciliation is that reconciliation is one of those rare instances in the Senate where you do not need 60 votes to pass this.
Just a majority.
Simple majority.
That's right.
Then you get. So right now we have a 50-50 split. And this is why that Georgia runoff was really big.
That's right. With Harris being the tiebreaker.
Right.
Bingo.
But Manchin's a little toss-up, isn't he? And Collins?
He is.
Not Collins. What's your name?
Yeah, they are. But I think, you know, when you start talking about reconciliation, though, Scott, for those guys to really hold out and hold it up.
If they're not putting anything extreme in.
I just don't see that happening.
Manchin wouldn't go for the 15.
I don't think so. They can't do the $15 an hour deal in reconciliation.
Yeah.
That's a different. That's a whole different deal.
Okay.
They can get a bunch of the other stuff done. Like
that's right.
Stimulus checks. And so that's going to be the big thing. So we're going to see a lot more spending. I just think, look, the stock market doesn't care if you're Democrat or Republican. The stock market cares about what they think is going to happen stuff like this.
And what
the impact's going to be in terms of the dollar, in terms of assets. And that's what guys are going to start investing for.
That's right.
So, I think as rational human beings, we can be upset at, we can hate this, we can like this, but we need to take these opportunities and use them to our advantage.
That's right. Thank you.
Insulate ourselves.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Because... yeah, I mean, these guys are going to do it. Why shouldn't we?
And
I think that's some of the stuff you saw with what's going on with GameStop is there are retail guys that are frustrated, average people that are very frustrated
rightfully
by what's going on. Yeah, and they see an opportunity like, hey,
that's right.
Why shouldn't I get a share? And God bless them, they should.
How do folks find you, Scott?
Yeah, go to StansberryInvestor.com. You can check out all of our free stuff, our paid stuff. And we're there to help the little guy.
Great. Perfect. Scott, I appreciate you joining us. Thanks for your extra time today, too. I appreciate it, sir.
Oh, anytime. I really appreciate being on with you guys.
You're very welcome. Enjoy talking to you, Scott. Have a great week, sir.
Thank you.
You bet. All right. And good stuff, by the way. Did I explain?
Yeah, it's interesting. I still want to know, kind of what So maybe something in infrastructure, like just investing in.
Let's talk about it when we come back. All right. Flesh and Beck is next. Kevin Flesh, he'd love to help you out with all your legal needs. It's easy. Give him a call, 303-806-8886, or find him at fleshlawfirm.com.
KLZ's personal injury attorney, Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law, has a unique background that makes him a more effective advocate for you. He handles both criminal and civil cases. Most attorneys only do one or the other, but Kevin has almost 25 years of experience on both sides, which means he has more practice in the courtroom. Most personal injury attorneys will say they have experience in court, but since only about 10% of personal injury cases actually go to trial, those attorneys only appear in court once or twice a year. Because Kevin also takes criminal cases, he appears in court constantly. Kevin has a rare ability to present an argument that only comes from years of experience learning how to read a courtroom. KLZ's personal injury attorney continues to practice both civil and criminal defense because he believes the courtroom keeps him nimble. Trial tested, trial ready. Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law. Schedule a free consultation now at 303-806-8886.
All right, Novus Auto Glass, folks, when you're looking to have a windshield replaced or just get it fixed, we have the place to go. And these guys work with all insurance companies as well. The name is Novus, N-O-V-U-S. Find them on the website, rushtoreason.com.
Take control of the process with Novus Auto Glass. Insurance companies want you to use one of their recommended shops so they get a discount. John Rush endorses Novus Auto Glass because he trusts the quality of their work. In today's modern car, your windshield has become a structural component of your vehicle. Unlike in classic cars, where your windshield was just something to look through, today's windshields bear pressure as part of the frame. Your windshield has become a safety feature of your vehicle, so quality repairs matter. With every repair or replacement, Novus Auto Glass records detailed specs, including the temperature outside, the serial number of the vehicle, and the type of urethane they use, so you can have confidence that your windshield won't pop out at the wrong moment. Instead of letting your insurance company choose the cheapest option, take control of the quality with the inventors of windshield repair. Find Novus Auto Glass now at rushtoreason.com.
All right, Franktown Firearms, where you can buy your first firearm or, hey, just add to the collection you've already got. Either way, they'll take great care of you. Talked to Nathan there the other day. He was on with us, and they've got great inventory right now. So go check them out, klzradio.com, 720-770-7777.
You're shooting on the range at Franktown Firearms, and something goes wrong with your gun. A jammed round. Maybe you're having trouble picking up your sights. So you walk on over to the gunsmithing department at the back of the store, and one of the gunsmiths on staff takes a look at your firearm. A few minutes later, you're back to firing on the range with a functional gun. Because they've earned the designation Stocking Dealer for Glock and Sig Sauer, as well as Master Dealer for Ruger and Smith & Wesson, Franktown Firearms has more guns in stock. Because they maintain good relationships with their suppliers, they consistently bring in ammo so it's available for you to practice on the range. If it's not in stock, rest assured more will be inbound soon. And as a shooting range with the full-service gunsmithing department on site, Franktown Firearms has the capacity to get your gun back faster. Sign up for a membership today at klzradio.com/franktown and receive $50 off your initiation fee, plus your first month free.
You know you ought to take a second look at your home and auto insurance because premiums keep going up, but you haven't set aside the time. Let Paul Lenigro and his team at Group Insurance Analysts help you for free. Make one free phone call today to review your plan. 303-423-0162.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
Jeff, hang tight. Somebody called in and asked about Schumer student debt. What's going on in the White House? There's an argument going on right now between Schumer and the White House as to handle how they're going to handle student debt. I'll talk more about that maybe with Andy tomorrow when I do a little more research tonight. But yeah, they're going back and forth as we speak. Jeff in Weld County.
Hey, John. Hey, I just, I don't know why, because I had to walk away from the radio for an hour or two. I know last Thursday you guys had talked about having a segment on some conservative options for social media and tech stuff?
We did not get into that today because of all of the other stuff we had going on. But yes, Rachel and I will do that. Maybe we can do it next Thursday, probably.
Yeah.
You know, okay. The alternatives that are out there. Yes, we can do that.
I didn't miss anything.
No, you did not. We did not get to that. We had National Cancer Day today and several other things we had to do. So, no, but I will put that on the slate for next week, Jeff.
All right, very good.
I will do that. No, thanks for the reminder. And, Rachel, make sure we put that in the notes for next week. We'll be happy to do that. So, anyways, we got one last break. Let's do it real quick. We'll come back. Rachel and I will finish up. Ascent Health Center. And, folks, man, with everything going on right now, some of you I know, you're depressed, you're down, you don't feel great, you're not sleeping well. Julie can help you. Dr. Julie can help you with all of that. And I know it sounds too good to be true, but she can. In a lot of cases, this is just, you know, simple health and science and what she can do to help you make it through the things that we're going through right now. Call her directly, 303-343-8800.
Dr. Julie provides both the scientific methodology and the empathetic accountability you need to lose weight. You've lost the weight in the past, but as soon as you started slipping back into your old habits, you felt like a failure. Now you've gained all of that weight back, plus some more, and starting over seems pointless. Both John Rush and Dr. Julie understand the daily struggle of staying healthy. The HCG diet at Ascent Health Center trains your body to convert unnecessary fat into energy. But you also need the mental and emotional fortitude to help you stick with it long term. Something as simple as a daily text message from a qualified weight loss guide could make all the difference between another yo-yo diet and a true lifestyle change. Remember how much better you felt without the extra weight. Call Ascent Health Center now and mention Rush to Reason for 30% off your HCG diet plan. 303-343-8800.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, so to finish up there with what Jeff, our caller, just asked. Yes, Rachel and I next week, we'll put a few things together. We'll, you know, talk ahead of time and even get some things dialed in. So Rachel, by the way, is much, much, much more familiar with these alternative platforms than I. I mean, I kind of do what I do just because I have to, frankly.
Right.
If I didn't have a radio show, guys, I wouldn't be on Facebook, Twitter. No, I wouldn't be on. I wouldn't care.
Yeah.
Whatever. Do your thing.
And
Parler
is still set to supposedly come back. They just fired their CEO.
Good.
Which is, yeah. They fired
Frankly,
their CEO.
Frankly, because that guy should have.
He was making some bad calls.
Oh, you think?
Yeah, he was making some bad calls, especially to be dependent on Amazon servers.
Should have never
just
gone there in the
that.
First place.
No.
What we'll do next week, tell you what. Rachel and I will do that. And for a lot of you, I think even nonprofits and churches that listen to us on a regular basis, you should be doing this stuff on your own. You should not rely on any hosting service. And I will explain simply how you can do that without a service and save money at the same time. We'll talk about that next week as well. With that's it for today. Well, listen to the first hour next. Otherwise, Rachel and I will be back next Thursday. Otherwise, Andy and I will be back tomorrow. Movies tomorrow are your favorite sequel.
Oh, fun.
Okay, that's the movies tomorrow. We'll be back then.
Okay.
Enjoy your evening. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.